This is Capricorn FM Podcast.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
To help learners, matric learners catch up with their lessons, the Department of Education, Limpopo and Capricorn FM have introduced something really cool. You and I as pluggers get to be part of it on the first hour of the show, from 2 until 3 p.m. And it is the hashtag Limpopo Radio Lesson. To the line, I am joined by Mr. C. Gubudu, who will be presenting a lesson on geography. Good afternoon, sir, and you can begin with the lesson.
Good afternoon, ma'am. This is Mr. C. Budugu Joseph Samson, your geography tutor. Welcome, grade 12, dear listeners. This afternoon, we'll be looking at geographical skills and techniques. Our main focus will be on map skills. Firstly, we'll have to start by differentiating between the two types of map that we have, which is topographical map and orthophoto map. Now, topographical map is a type of map with a large scale details that shows topographical features on the earth. In other words, when we look at topographical map, we'll be able to identify mountains, valleys, rivers, and vegetation. Whereas when we look at orthophoto map, that is a type of aerial photograph that has contour lines and various features indicated. So when you do your paper 1 and paper 2, question 3 for each paper will be focusing on geographical skills and techniques, where there will be map skills, map interpretation, and GIS. And both questions on paper 1 and paper 2 will be out of 30. So we'll start by looking at the compass or direction. When you study for map work, these are the tools that one should have. You should bring along the protractor, ruler, pencil, calculator. If possible, you can also bring a string or a wool, a cotton wool, just a string that can help you when you measure the winding roads. So now, when we look at the direction, what is a direction? Direction is expressed during using points of a compass, meaning that we'll have north, south, west, and east, and there are also points between them. So they are known as the cardinal points. When you have got your map, either topographical map or orthophoto map, the north is always at the top of the map. Whether you are facing a western direction but having your map, the top of your map, that will be your north. Take that into consideration. So, direction is very important, more especially when we treat our geographical skills and techniques. You will be asked direction based on the direction of river flow. So with this background, knowing the cardinal points, even some points which are found between them, that will help you to identify the correct direction. Even when you are given the map codes, you will be able to tell the map which is found north of or south of the map code that you are given. So in other words, I'm encouraging you to say direction when we deal with geography, it is very important. And don't ever undermine the direction. So So during our lesson, we'll also continue to refer to the direction so that you understand how we can utilize them for geographical skills and techniques. Let me just also take this opportunity. We look at the contour lines. Contour lines are represented by brown color on a topographical map. Whereas when you look at the orthophoto map, the contour lines will be in black color. So now, contour lines is line on the map that joins all places with equal height. Contour lines are lines on the map that join all places with equal height. So, this contour line joins places with equal height in meters. The unit that is used to measure on a topographical map, that is in meters. So, the height is the same along one contour line, meaning that if you can trace one contour line, it will be like indicating to us that the height along the same contour line is the same. So the closer the contour lines will give us a slope which is steep, whereas if the contour lines are far apart, that will be saying to us that the area is gentle or slope. So contour lines are very important, more especially when we are doing the study of map work. So at the bottom of your map, you'll find the contour line where there is conventional sign written. Contour line is, let's say, even the one of a contour interval, it will be written at the bottom of the valley or at the bottom of your map. So now, let's also check the contour interval. The contour interval is the difference between the two contour lines. In other words, where you'll find one contour line going to the other. The difference between the two contour lines, it is called contour interval. The contour interval for topographical map is 20 meters, whereas the contour interval for orthophoto map is 5 meters. Take note of that. That is very important, because when you treat the multiple choice question, you will be asked about the contour interval for topographical map. You should actually know that for topographical map, the contour interval is 20. If you want to confirm that, that's where now you can also go at the bottom of your map. You'll be found written in brown color, indicated as contour interval 20 meters. It is also written in Afrikaans next to it. Same applies when you check from the orthophoto map. It is also indicated that the contour interval is 5 meters, of which that is also very important to take note that some of the answers are found around the map that you are given. So, when we study our map, the study of contour lines, it gives us more information where we'll be able to identify different geographical features. When we were studying geomorphology, we were talking about different features like valley, gullies, butte, mesa, and whatsoever. So now, all those landforms can be drawn, can be shown the shape and the slope using contour lines. That is also very important. And then by the study of this, we'll be able to tell whether the slope is concave or convex. Let's also look at the second subheading, which is the position or coordinate. When we talk of coordinates, this is the set of values that shows the exact position of an object or point. The coordinates are the set of values that shows the exact position of an object or point. They consist of latitude and longitude. So now, when we look at our map, we have got latitude. Latitude, that is the coordinates that specify the north to south position of a point, whereas the longitude is the coordinates that specify the west to east position of a point. So now, latitude and longitude are given in degrees. You will find a symbol of degree on top of the number that you are given. And there is also a symbol to indicate a minute. There is also a symbol to indicate the second. When giving the position in correct format, latitude going to the south is given first, followed by longitude going to the east. Remember, South Africa in all places are south, which is latitude, and east, longitude. So, before we can look at the position on the map correctly, I would like to tell you that on all 1:50,000 topographical maps, the coordinates are shown on the edge of the map. The latitude values are shown down the side. The longitude, which is the east value, are shown along the top and bottom of the map. So now, here with me, I'm having the topographical map of Harry Smith. This map of Harry Smith is having a map code of 28-29-AC. Now, that number, 28, it represents latitude, whereas 29 is representing longitude. If I want to identify, for example, you should also take note of that. On our topographical map in block C9 of Harry Smith map, topographical map, in block C9, there is a trigonometrical beacon written Queens Hill. Trigonometrical beacon 299 in block C9. There is a trig beacon which is written there on top, Queens Hill. If you want to know what will be the position or the coordinates for that, we'll start by looking at the top left of our map. There is a latitudinal line which is 28 degrees. Then when we check those lines of latitude going down, trying to identify the position where there is Queens Hill, will have 17 minutes. In other words, in terms of minutes, it's 17. And then within a minute, we also have seconds. So here, when you try to find the seconds, you use your own distribution within that block, then you'll have to divide it until such time when you find the exact position of where the feature is, of which that Queens Hill is at 55 seconds. So if I can put it nicely, using land of latitude, it is at 28 degrees, 17 minutes, 55 seconds south. and considering latitude, that trigonometrical beacon is at 29 degrees, 8 minutes, 55 seconds east. So you can also draw a line using a ruler. You will be able to tell the exact position. So what I can advise is for you to start by identifying the degree, then you go to minutes, then you go to seconds, going to the south. Then you also try to check the degree, then minutes, then seconds, going to the east. Then if you interconnect the two positions by drawing the line, you will be able to tell the exact position. Let me just also try to give the second example, which is of symmetry in block E1. Symmetry in block E1. In case where you will be asked to identify the to find the coordinates or position of symmetry which is found in block E1, then you will remember that you will start by finding a degree. Because we are using the map 2829 AC of Harrismith, then our latitudinal degree in this case will be 28. Then we count going towards the block E. Then we'll have 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So in other words, that symmetry which is in block E1, it is in 19 minutes. And considering the second, that will be 15 seconds south. In other words, that is 28 degrees, 19 minutes, and 15 seconds south. Now, when you consider the longitudinal position, that will be 29 degrees, 00 minutes, and also when we check the position where the symmetry, that will be 15 seconds. So it is very important to know how to use these coordinates using line of latitude and line of longitude. So when we treat math, we need also to know how to use the math code. If I may give you an example of Harrismith, like I told you, Harrismith is in 28, 29 AC. And I want to help you to find the exact position of this map code. Just try to draw a line which is latitude. That latitudinal line is stretches from east going to west. And you also draw the line of longitude which is moving from north to south. There we have it. So now, 28 is a degree, 29 is also a degree. So what you should take into consideration is that within a degree, there is 60 minutes. So for us to move from 28, the one indicating the latitude, to go to the other one, which is 29 over there, you should always bear in mind that there is a degree and within it there is 60 minutes. So we'll have to divide this into four blocks. When you have got four blocks, then you will have four blocks there. The first block on top, right A, the second block, right B, the third one, C, the other one, D. In other words, we'll have four blocks that is found within the net code of 28, 29 AC. Now, within the very same map, in each block where there is A and B and C, we need also to divide it into four small blocks. There we'll have four small blocks, and then within the block of A, which is big, then you'll have to write A, B, C, D. where we'll end up having AA, AB, AC, AD. What you have done in block A, you can also do it in block B, where you'll have BA, BB, BC, BD. Exactly, you will also do it in block C, where you'll have CA, CB, CC, CD. Even in block D, just also do the same. You'll have DA, DB, DC, DD. Let's take a short break. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I was indicating the map code of Harry Smith, which is 2829 AC, where I try to indicate the 16 blocks, where out of these 16, there is four big block, and in each big block, we have got four small blocks. So out of these 16 maps that we are having within the line of latitude and longitude, we want to identify the area covered by this AC. In your piece of paper, try to highlight it. There we will have it. Now, while having that area highlighted, just actually know that the map which is in front of me here, it is covered in that particular area where you highlighted. So now, you can also be asked questions based on this map code so that you can identify the map which is found north of 2829 AC. So now, if you have got that sketch in front of you, that index, you can also find it at the bottom of the map. You can actually tell that the map that cover north of 2829 AC, that will be 2829 AA. That is simple, isn't it? Then, if you want to check the map which is found on the east, now we are applying the knowledge that you learn when you were treating direction. The map which is found on the east, that will be 2829 AD. The map on the east is 2829 AD. What about the map which is found on the south? The map which is found on the south of 2829 AC, that will be 2829 CA. From this particular map, there is something which is very quite interesting. Just try to find out what is the map which is found on the west of 2829 AC. Just try to find it and you write it down. 2829 AC. We are checking now the map which is found on the west. So now, when you check the one which is on the west, the map covering that point, that will be 2828 BD. That is 2828 BD. In this particular map, we'll be having line of latitude 28 and line of longitude again 28. That is another area which also challenges many learners, because if we have got a map that starts from a latitudinal point where there will be zero going to the east, where we'll have 1, 2, 3. If it is on the other side, majority of learners in most cases, they actually get confused. So now, with this background that I've given here, that is another way that can help you when you are asked about direction, where you can indicate the map which is on the north, even map which is found on the south. Let's now look at the other topic, which is a topic based on bearings. So that is a continuation of the direction. So now, what is bearing? Bearing is an accurate way of giving direction of one place in relation to another. Bearing is an accurate way of giving the direction of one place in relation to another. It is a compass point measured in degrees from 0 to 360. So now, when you have got your compass, that point that you regard it as north, that point that you regard it as north, that is where we'll put our zero. And then when we measure, we move in a clockwise. So now, when we study bearing, we can distinguish between true bearing and magnetic bearing. What is a true bearing? True bearing is the angle measured clockwise from true north to a specific point or position. True bearing is the angle measured clockwise from the true north to a specific point or position. Just to give you a practical example, when we look at the study of direction, a place where you usually put north, regard it as zero, and then you'll have the center there. So the place where the position is east, when you measure, when you try to measure the true bearing, that will be 90 degrees. Because when you measure the true bearing, that is the angle measured clockwise from north to a specific point. Whereas a point that is measured southeast, the point that is measured southeast, when you measure the direction, that will give you to say that is 135 degrees. In other words, the true bearing for that point of southeast, that will be 135. The one for east, that will be 90. Whereas south, that will be 180 degrees. And then the one which is west, when we consider the true bearing, that is the one that will be 270. Don't forget that they are also positioned somewhere in the middle between this cardinal point that I've mentioned. So with the study of mapping, when you have got a protractor, when you are given, let's say, to measure the true bearing from 2, then you will have to put that point where you are asked to indicate, then you draw a straight line so that it can indicate your north, then even to the point where you are supposed to go, then you will be able to tell the true bearing. So we need also to look at the topic based on magnetic declination. Magnetic declination. Now, what is magnetic declination? Magnetic declination is the angle between true north and magnetic north. Magnetic declination is the angle between true north and magnetic north. So magnetic north is the north direction to which the compass will point. On Southern African map, magnetic north will always be west of true north. Let me repeat this. Magnetic north is the north direction to which a compass will point. On Southern South African map, magnetic north is always on the west of true north. So now this angle is calculated when the map is drawn, but the position of magnetic north changes. So the angle between the true north and magnetic north, the magnetic declination will also change. That is the reason why here we need to find the magnetic declination. So the magnetic declination for the map, you will find it drawn or appear on the bottom of the map. If you look at the map that you were given at the bottom, there is somewhere where there is two arrows, another one indicating the true north, another one indicating the magnetic north. And there is information given where, for the map that I'm having in front of me here, I have got the map of Harry Smith, where it is indicated that the mean magnetic declination, 20 degrees, 28 minutes west of true north, July 2001. Mean annual change, 8 minutes west between 1995 and 2000. Supplied by Hermanus Magnetic Observatory. So, when you study for magnetic declination, there is July 2001, which refers to the month and the year that the mean magnetic declination was recorded. And the mean annual change refers to how much magnetic declination changes each year. Whereas 1995 to 2000 refers to the year that were used to calculate the mean or average mean magnetic declination. So magnetic declination can change in a westerly direction, and the angle between the true north and magnetic north increases. Or magnetic declination can change in an easterly direction, and the angle between the true north and magnetic north will decrease. It is necessary to calculate the magnetic declination for the current year. Let's quickly look at the method for calculating magnetic declination. Method for calculating magnetic declination. One, you need to indicate the present year. You start by indicating the present year. And number two, the mean magnetic declination. The mean magnetic declination. Three, you need also to indicate the mean annual change. Mean annual change. It is also important where you need to check whether mean annual change is changing towards the west or east, because this will help you to find the true answer, whether the magnetic declination was increasing or decreasing. So you need to check the mean annual change, whether it's moving towards the west or towards the east. And this, you will find it where the year of declination was recorded, even given a month and a year over there. So now, calculating the difference in years between the current year and the year of magnetic declination, you need also to take note of that. Then after that, we multiply the mean annual change by the difference in years. If the mean annual change is westward, you add. But if the mean annual change is eastward, you subtract. So let's now try to do it in a practical way, take note of this information using the map of Harrismith. The mean magnetic declination is 20 degrees 28 minutes west of True North, July 2021. And mean annual change is 8 minutes west between 1995 and 2000. So I've just indicated that just to check this mean annual change, whether it is changing towards the west or east. So if it is moving towards the east, that's where you will add. If it's moving towards the west, that's where you are going to subtract. Now, just try to answer the calculation of magnetic declination. The present year, obviously, is 2021, which is 2001. That is what you should write as 1, 2. The mean magnetic declination is 20 degrees, 28 minutes west. The mean magnetic declination is 20 degrees, 28 minutes west. Whereas the map date of magnetic declination, it was July 2001. The map date of magnetic declination was 2001. So if you check the difference in years, it's 2021 minus 2001. The answer will be 20 years. Our difference in years is 20 years. Whereas the mean annual change is 8 minutes west. The annual change is 8 minutes west. Now, when we move to the second step, which is total change. What is total change? That is where we multiply annual change by, is multiplied by different in years. In other words, that is where you indicate that 8 multiplied by 20, and it will give you 160 minutes. 160 minutes. So when you look at 160 minutes, that is too much. So you can also convert it and put it nicely. You will understand that 1 degree is equal to 60 minutes, of which if we have got 160 minutes, we'll end up having 2 minutes and 2 degrees, 40 minutes within that 160 minutes. So let me just also reiterate this. When you multiply, you get a number which is more than 60, let's say 72 or 90. Within that number, in terms of minutes, it is more than a degree. So when you put it nicely, you will indicate that 60 as a degree and the remaining minutes. So in this situation, we have got 160, of which 160, we have got 2 degrees and 40 minutes. Let's go. Let's take a short break. Okay, thank you, and welcome back. We were still going step by step for calculation of magnetic declination, and I have calculated up to the total change, where I indicated that after multiplication of annual change multiplied by different in years, it gave us 160 minutes, of which when we convert it to when we put it nicely, it will give us 2 degrees, 40 minutes. So the direction of change here is westward. So if it's going to the west, obviously when we do our addition, we'll have to add. So already we have our mean magnetic declination, which is 20 degrees, 28 minutes west, plus 2 degrees plus 40 minutes. When we add, that is very quite interesting. It will give us 23 degrees, 8 minutes. Now, if you check, when you add those minutes which are there, it will give you 68. And 68 is more than 60 minutes. So that is the reason why that degree, you will put it on the other side, plus that other two. That is why in terms of degrees, we have 28, 23 degrees and 8 minutes. This is how we calculate it. Just to simplify it for you, if you want to put it nicely, the method of calculation of magnetic declination, you should have the present year, then you will fill it on this side next to it, mean magnetic declination, then you'll also write next to it the map date of magnetic declination, that is that one which is written with the month and the year. Then you will only consider the year. Then after that, you will get the difference in years as step number 4. Then you will subtract the year that you were given there for map date. You subtract it from the present year. Then you'll have your answer. Then you'll have the annual change. And when you write the annual change, just also bear in mind checking whether it is moving towards the east or towards the west. Then you will end up having now a total change. A total change, that is where you multiply the annual change with difference in years. Then after that, you will have to get your magnetic declination. After the study of magnetic declination, we need also to learn about magnetic bearing. You need to calculate for magnetic bearing. So now, how do you do this? It is very important. Magnetic bearing is equal to, or let me start by giving the definition of magnetic bearing. Magnetic bearing is the angle between magnetic north and a given point. So now, calculate the magnetic bearing by using the following formula. You should actually know that magnetic bearing is equal to true bearing plus magnetic declination. So, let's say, for example, you are given a map that is showing part of, let's say, Utrecht. When you are in Utrecht, your north is that direction of N1 going to Musina. And then Toyandou is on the east. Now, say, for example, if you have got that map of Utrecht, and the question is, find the true bearing of Toyandou from Utrecht, meaning that your true bearing, it can be 93 or 95 degrees in terms of angle. So if you have that one, you will indicate that the true bearing is 93. Then after that, you will go to your map and check what is the magnetic declination. If I may give an example using the one of Harry Smith, which is 20 degrees and 28 minutes west. All what you have to do, you need to add the true bearing and magnetic declination. That will be 110 degrees, 28 minutes. Then, when you are done with this, the method of calculation, you will use those steps that you were using when you were calculating for magnetic declination, where you will indicate the present year and then the mean magnetic declination. But in that case, because you are doing magnetic bearing, that's where you will add the magnetic bearing, true bearing plus magnetic declination. Map date of magnetic declination, which is 2001, the difference in years, annual change, total change, even considering the direction of change, then you'll have everything there in place for you. That will be very simple. Let me just also go back and we'll look at the topic based on map scale. Map scale. So now, when you look at the map scale, here we are using topographical map and orthophoto map. So the map scale of topographical map is 1:50,000. The map scale of topographical map is 1:50,000, whereas the map scale of orthophoto map is 1:10,000. So now, if you want to know which scale is smaller, which scale is bigger, so now, when you look at the 1:50,000 time, when we try to interpret it for you, that simply means this map was reduced 50,000 times, whereas the orthophoto map of 1:10,000, that simply means the map scale was reduced 1:10,000 times. So the features on a topographical map will look much bigger than features appearing on the features on orthophoto map will look much bigger than the one on topographical map, because for topographical map, features were reduced 50,000 times, whereas on the orthophoto map, features were reduced 1:10,000 times. So orthophoto map is 5 times bigger than topographical map, whereas topographical map, in simple terms, it is 5 times smaller than orthophoto map. So with this study of scales, we can also look at the types of scale we have. Linear scale, we have weight scale, we have representative of fraction and ratio scale, which is in numbers. So now, that is the reason why I quickly jump into that one where I was indicating the one which is in ratio. So, because in most cases when we have got our map, we'll have this scale written there on top, so that when we do our calculation, it will make things very simple for you to understand. So let me just also move to the second activity, where you can also be asked to calculate the distance on a straight line, where you'll be expected to calculate the distance on a straight line. In this case, that is where you are going to use a ruler to measure the distance between the two points. Here, you are going to use a ruler to measure the distance between the two points. And then note, to measure accurately from the middle of one point to the middle of the other, so you need to do the following. For topographical map, you should take note of this. That scale of 1:50,000, if you are measuring distance in kilometers, you need to multiply whatever you have measured by 0.5. If you measure any distance in centimeters and you are expected to give maybe your answer in kilometers, you can multiply that number that you have in centimeters by 0.5. Where does that come from? If you have the scale of 1:50,000, you should always bear in mind that within a kilometer, there is 100,000 centimeters, of which if you can say 50/100, that is equals to half, which is 0.5. That is the reason why if you measure any distance from point A to point B, if it's in centimeters, you can multiply it by 0.5 to get your answer. Say, for example, if you are measuring a distance from point A to point B and it was 5 centimeters, and you're expected to measure that distance in kilometers, you will multiply it by 0.5. Your answer will be 2.5. It is like 5 centimeters multiplied by 0.5. The answer will be equals to 2.5. And then if it is in meters, where you're expected to measure that distance on a straight line, and the answer is supposed to be in meters, you need to multiply it by what? By 500. Any number which is in topographical map, and then you are expected to give the answer in meters, multiply it by 500. So that is more or less like that number that you have, you multiply it with a scale of 50,000, you divide it by 100. That is where it will give you the answer in meter. Exactly. When we come to orthophoto map now, the scale that we are given is 1:10,000 on the orthophoto map. If you are expected to calculate the distance on a straight line on the orthophoto map, we multiply it by 0.1. We multiply it by 0.1 to get the answer in kilometers. Where does that 0.1 come from? That 0.1 is from 1:10,000 divided by, remember, there is 100,000 centimeters in a kilometers. So if you have got 10,000, which is our scale, divided by 100,000, you'll end up having 0.1 kilometers. But if it's in meters, then you multiply it by 100 to get it in meters. So it is very simple. Say, for example, you have a distance you measure in meters, which is 5, and then you multiply it by, it is 5 centimeters you measure from orthophoto map. It is 5 multiplied by 0.1. The answer will be 0.5 kilometers. But if it is in meters, if when you measure and you get 5 centimeters, there for orthophoto map, you measure it by, you multiply it by 100. In other words, you simply say 5 multiplied by 100, and then the distance will be 500. It is so simple to measure the distance on a straight line. So it is so simple when you measure point A to point B. Let us also take this opportunity to look at the area, because when you calculate for an area, you can be asked to calculate an area using kilometers or meters. Now, let's check if you are measuring the distance on a topographical map. You're expected to measure the distance on a topographical map. Remember, on a topographical map, you use a scale of 1:50,000. And then the formula that we use to calculate for an area is area is equals to length multiplied by breadth. Formula is area is equals to length multiplied by breadth. Say you have got a rectangle. Our length there, it's 5.6 centimeters on the map, and our breadth is 2.6. And you're expected to calculate for an area. So what you need to do, you need to write your formula there on top. You indicate that your length is equals to 5.6. You multiply it by 0.5. It will give you 2.8 kilometers. Then you look at the breadth, which is 2.6 centimeters. You multiply it by 0.5. It will give you 1.3 kilometers. So when you multiply 2.8 kilometers multiplied by 1.3, it will give you the answer of 3.64 kilometers squared. So it is so simple. And then if you are asked to do the same, to say calculate the same area in meters, you will have your formula, which is area, which is equal to length multiplied by breadth. And then for any number that you measure in centimeters, then you multiply it by 500. So we have got 5.6 centimeters. You multiply it by 500, it will give you 2,800 meters. And that one of breadth, which is 2.6 centimeters, you multiply it by 500, it will give you the answer of 1,300 meters. So your answer there, it will be 3,640,000 meters squared. So it is so simple. But for you to learn about this calculation, you learn it by practicing, because the more you practice, the more you'll understand it better. So I also would like to indicate the altitude or height. And then when you study height, because with the study of geomorphology, there is altitude that you need to know. Altitude is the height above sea level. And there are four things that you can use to find the height. That is the spot height, trigonometrical beacon, benchmark, and contour line. So when you look at our map, there is so many spot heights. And then how will you be able to see the spot height? The spot height gives the actual height at a particular point as shown with a dot and a number. And a benchmark is a spot height along the road or a railway line, but it is shown by a number and an arrow. A trigonometrical beacon is a physical marker that is built at a certain point on a hill or mountain, but the symbol for a trig beacon is triangle. And I've talked about the contour lines that shows the height and features such as hill and valley. I hope next time when we continue with this, I'm going to indicate map interpretation, the cross-section, intervisibility, and GIS. And have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, too.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. That is how we wrap up the Limpopo Radio lesson for this week. If you do have any questions, I can still send them through to the teacher. Send them on 079-896-226. And like I said, podcasts are available on capricornfm.co.za/podcasts.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
That was Capricorn FM Podcast.